For 50 years, the Common Ground Country Fair has been more than an annual event. It has been a gathering place for a movement rooted in organic agriculture, food justice, environmental stewardship, and the belief that communities can build healthier futures together. One of the most visible and enduring expressions of that movement has been the fair's posters. An exhibition of all 50 fair posters, called 50 Years of Common Ground, honors this legacy. I'm Holly Cederholm, and today on Common Ground Radio, we're celebrating 50 years of the Common Ground Country Fair with the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association in a special two-part conversation. To start, Seth Kreck makes his debut as Common Ground Radio co-host with a conversation about the Common Ground Country Fair poster exhibition. Then you'll hear me in conversation with Brenda McGinnis, the artist behind the 2026 Common Ground Country Fair poster, which features a sheepdog with sunflowers. This conversation about local food and organic agriculture is brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association on Community Radio WERU 89.9 FM Blue Hill.
I'm Seth Kreck. I'm chatting with Maine Arts Commission Executive Director Amy Houseman and Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Membership and Development Director Mary Whiteson about this year's 50th Common Ground Fair poster and the exhibition of posters from the last 49 years. Amy Houseman is the Executive Director of Maine Arts Commission, a contemporary art curator and an art director who grew up with deep agricultural roots from her Missouri farm-born beginnings to cultivating Victory Gardens in New York City. She now lives with her family on her farm in Richmond, Maine, where she grows vegetables for her community and leads a statewide team focused on nurturing creativity to support healthy, vibrant communities. Mary Whiteson is a membership and development director at Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners, and she is a seasoned fundraising and marketing professional with over 20 years of experience advancing cultural, environmental, and educational organizations, including past work with Friends of Baxter Tate Park and leading a major post-9/11 cultural revitalization campaign in New York City. Amy, I would really love for you to talk a little bit about the significance of the show that opened at the state capitol in Augusta that has the 50 posters from the last 50 years, including this upcoming one, and what that means and why the Maine Arts Commission is involved in a show like that.
Thank you. So nice to be with you, Seth. It's really great to be here with you, Mary, to talk about this topic that I love so much. We love the Common Ground Fair. And so we're really thrilled to be able to be involved with this particular project. It is many things, as you and Mary present different kinds of exhibitions at the State House here in Augusta. And those exhibitions are sometimes different artists, sometimes different groups. We put together a show every year about veterans and made by veterans artists in the state of Maine. We put together a show for state employees here at the State House. We showcase all different kinds of things. And this year, as we knew, we were planning for Maine's 75th centennial, or America's 75th centennial. We started thinking about what we might be able to do that would be the right fit, the right match. And I started with the Maine Arts Commission 2 years ago, and when I did, I gave a list of kind of dreams to my team of things that I wanted to do, and one of them was I wanted to do some work at the Common Ground Fair, because I love it so much, and then my family loves going. It's such a tradition here in Maine. And so I think we originally reached out to say we were hoping to maybe have a table or something at the fair. And through that conversation with Mary and others, we learned that there was this beautiful archive of 50 posters. I think Mary was already starting to dream up some ideas about what could happen for an exhibition, and we had the space where we could do it right here at the heart of state government in Augusta. So we were really thrilled to be able to partner with Mary and the team at Hawk. They're being amazing partners, as I'm sure nobody's surprised. And we really wanted to showcase this work by so many different artists who are from Maine and who have come to Maine over these years to demonstrate what we believe, which is that creativity builds connection. Creativity is a way that we can build connection in this place we now call Maine, and that can be in all different kinds of ways. It can be from making art, being an illustrator, being a painter, being a sculptor. It also can be by growing food and sharing and serving that food. And really love to be able to kind of relax a little bit and think more broadly about what creativity is. To me, there's nothing more me and nothing more American than MoCA and Common Ground Fair. And so for us, it was the perfect thing to be able to offer out as part of our semi-centennial experiment this year.
Mary, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about kind of the show, but also maybe give listeners a little background on what is a fair poster? What's the significance of having a poster every year? What's the process of how we kind of get them working with an artist and making those decisions? And what's your impression of the show and seeing the posters that span that period of time?
Thanks, Seth. And this is a really big year for us. This September, we're marking the 50th Common Ground Country Fair, which is just such a milestone, not just for MoCA, but for really the cultural history of Maine, because it really is intertwined with the agricultural history of Maine. And so when we started thinking about how can we mark and celebrate this year, it's the posters. The posters are ambassadors for our movement, and they have been for so long. They're not just a date and a time of when the next fair is taking place, but they really are symbols of our movement, of community, of passing on learning, of respect for the land and the tradition of agriculture. And also, they become so emotionally significant for so many families in Maine. We hear stories of how many people met their partners at a fair when they were volunteering, or how many came with their grandparents to some of the very first fairs and now coming back with their own grandchildren, and how people just make it so important to make the pilgrimage to the fair. The posters just marry that movement so well. It was really interesting because we did not have all of the posters in our archives. Some copies that we had were not in great condition, and so this exhibit, first of all, gave us the chance to put together the whole archive, which we now have excellent posters in excellent condition of every single year. This happens every year because another MoCA tradition is the selection of the posters, and that happens by a committee of over 300 people. It includes MoCA staff, it includes MoCA board members, as well as the 250 volunteers that we have on our planning committee. Most people don't know that the Common Ground Country Fair only happens because 2,000 volunteers every year. We only have two full-time staff members that work on the fair. This is all done because of volunteers and fellow Mainers who also have a passion for our movement. In a couple of weeks is the deadline for the 2027 poster. That's how far we work in advance. So everybody's sending in their submissions. We digitize everything, then we send out an email to all of those 300 people and ask everyone for their top selections. That gets whittled down, and then in August, we all meet at MoCA. The finalists are put up on display, and there's a series of votes until we narrow it down to whoever the winner is that year. And it's not just about picking the best artistic piece, but it's also picking one that really illustrates our mission and has an educational component to it. And also, our partners at Liberty Graphics are there too. And they will let us know if something might be difficult to put on a poster or on a t-shirt, or if something might actually need to be altered. And we've done that before too, where we've gone back to an artist and asked them to revise something so that it could fit properly on a t-shirt or a poster.
It's just such a super interesting process. And I've just recently been part of it. And I think all of the work that gets submitted is really amazing. As you were saying earlier, Amy, this idea that art can reflect and record where we are at as a community. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about being the Arts Commission Director here in Maine. What are some other examples of where artists and artwork really come together to record where we are as a community, the things that are important to us, and examples of that that you think are inspiring?
We mission public work as part of a Percent for Art program here in the state of Maine, and one of the briefs or the charges we give to the artist is to create work that is site-specific, that's tied, I always say, to the past, present, and future of the place. And I feel like the Common Ground Country Fair posters have that spirit to them, right? They're very much tied to this land that has been farmed for generations and generations They are very tied to this democratic tradition that Mary just shared. This is a process where everyone is participating, and I think that that is a really beautiful way. I called it, you know, democratic archive of these last 50 years for MOFCOM, for the Common Ground, and I think that it really is that, in that so many different people have a voice in sharing what they think is the right thing. I just was thinking as Mary was talking, I would like to see all the submissions from all these 50 years. I'm sure they're incredible, and I would love to see them. It was a joy for me to be able to look through the 50 posters. And thanks to Malfa and the team there, they had digitized things, as Mary said. There was posters I know that they looked around for, and that was a challenge to be able to pull those all together. But for me, I got to be able to look carefully at each and every one of the graphic posters. Before I came to Maine, I was in New York City. So I do have an agricultural past, but I am a New York City girl. And one of the things that I used to have the privilege of doing is running the public art program for the New York City subway system. And my favorite part of that project and program was that I got to commission artists to make posters for the subway and posters that were in subway cars. And the reason I loved it is because the poster as an art form is so accessible. People see something and they want to put it on their wall. They want to put it on their tote bag. They want to put it on a t-shirt. They love it. And they have connection to it. And so I love posters for that reason. They're beautifully printed. Certainly these have all been beautifully printed and have been beautifully reproduced. But they can then hang on the wall in your kitchen. Or they can be on the t-shirt that you choose to wear to. And then you have a connection. You bought into the whole process and you're part of it. And I love that so much about the illustration form and the poster form. So I'm thrilled to be able to be involved with anything to do with posters. I love posters so much, as Mary and I have discussed. So be able to be part of this poster program, because this is, like I said earlier, quintessentially Maine. It is recognizable by so many people. People know these images. They have favorites. They have reasons that they're their favorites. Maybe they worked at the fair. They volunteered at the fair. They met their partner at the fair, as Mary just said. Or they just really love the image.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience. My kids have left the state to go to college, and they've run across people in other places with a t-shirt, and it's like this instant moment of connection. The t-shirt and the poster are pretty amazing. Mary, where is the show traveling this summer, or this year?
It's going to be in Augusta at the State House through August 30th, and that is open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, and it's free admission. And then from there, it's going to the Typhonic Gallery at Waterville Creates, right in downtown Waterville. And it will be there for the entire month of September, which is really great because most people actually drive through Waterville on their way to the fair, so it will be very convenient. And we're really excited because on September 4th, we're partnering with Waterville Creates for their first Friday, and it's going to be a really great party. They're closing down Main Street. We've invited vendors from the fair. It's going to be a mini kickoff party to celebrate both the opening of the poster exhibit in Waterville as well as this year's 50th fair. From there, we hope to tour it around the state at different colleges, but we'd also like to tour it out of state too, because as I said before, these posters are such great ambassadors for the state.
You are listening to Common Ground Radio, and today's episode is co-hosted by Seth Kreck and Holly Cederholm. We're discussing the connection between art and agriculture and 50 years of Common Ground, an exhibition showcasing all 50 Common Ground Country Fair posters on display in Augusta and Waterville this summer. For more information, visit MOFCA.org. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at WERU.org.
And is there an online archive where people can see the posters?
There is an online archive, and we're also producing a poster catalog, which is also for sale at MOFCA.org.
I will say the catalog is beautiful, so gorgeous. I'm so happy that MOFCA decided to do it. A beautiful designer, Mabel Regan, helped to organize that catalog. And I love just sitting and looking through it.
Amy, I wonder if you could keep talking a little bit about the creative process that you interface with at the Arts Commission. I know there's been a great tradition of artists coming to Maine to live, but also just a summer. We've had an endless list of really creative people who've come to this incredible place that we're lucky to live in for inspiration. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the process. process of how we're working to keep that tradition going and what you're seeing in the state right now.
Well, the Maine Arts Commission has been around for 60 years. We're just celebrating kind of the 60th anniversary. We're not celebrating it, but we're acknowledging it. And we've done so much work to support the creative ecosystem, certainly the creative economy, but the creative ecosystem here in the state of Maine. We give grants to artists and to arts organizations. We have a new grant program that's called Creative Communities, where it brings artists and nonprofits. And we're really interested in thinking about how we can maybe blur the line a little bit between what art is and what is living in these beautiful places, and thinking really about creativity being a lens through which we look at everything. So the work that we're doing right now is really centered on this idea of creativity being a bridge to health and well-being, to be able to help individuals, but also to be able to help communities grow and be nourished through creativity. And so we are running a range of different kinds of programs. One of them that's kind of parallel to the Common Ground Country Fair exhibition this year is a program that we're doing for America 250 that we're offering in a partnership between Humanities and Community Place. And it's a series of potluck suppers taking place around the state of Maine this summer to bring all different kinds of folks together around the table. There's no better way to share stories and information and experience than by sitting around and eating food together, sharing food. And so we're really thrilled to be able to offer programs like that, which you might not always think about as Arts Commission program, but we think it is because, again, as I said at the top, you know, creativity of making food, creativity of sharing food, these are the small little daisies that we can chain together to make a larger daisy chain. And I think they're a way that we can build connection here in this place. The other thing that I'll say is we have 1.4 million people who live here in the state of Maine, but we have about 15 million people who visit every year. And they visit because they love it here. When I was growing up, we came up in the summertime, and we waited all year long until a week that we could come up and go to our little place down at Ocean Park. And when we crossed that bridge, like, everyone cheered for it. That happens every single day. In the summertime, for sure, of people who come here because they love it. And I think one of the things that's really wonderful about this exhibition is it's a way for us to share that love and to also acknowledge that so many people have come from away and live here, and that we are on ground that has been cultivated and has been inspirational for thousands and thousands of years. And the way that we learn from the indigenous communities that are here is a way that we can really ensure that creativity and art and health and community and governance all come together in the way that we operate, in the way that we treat one another, and the way that we conduct our lives here in this place.
Amazing. Really important work. Mary, what else is MAFCA doing in the creative sphere? I think people know a lot about some of the farmer programs. Obviously, everyone associates the fair. Are there any other kind of creative things that MAFCA is bringing together, you know, knowledge of agriculture, food and communities that are notable?
Well, that's what we do all the time, really, is bringing people together. The Common Ground Country Fair is really the most public aspect of it. And I think what's been really great this year about working with the Maine Arts Commission is that there's always been that presence of the intersection of arts and agriculture at the fair. And this year, we actually got to formalize it, I think, through this partnership. You know, we have the Russell Libby Poetry Grove. Russell was an amazing poet, and we honor him at the Poetry Grove with poetry readings throughout the entire fair. We have music everywhere you go at the fair. We have contra dancing. Just the fact that so many of the artists of the posters are also farmers themselves. We publish the MOF&G quarterly, the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners, our quarterly magazine, and there is always space dedicated to writers, poets, and artists in those pages. As Amy also discussed, we have recipes as the other creative outlet, because everybody at MAFCA, yes, we love to eat, and if you've ever been to one of our potlucks, they're pretty famous because we love to grow our food and cook it and share it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of getting together at MACA. It's the food, for sure. In closing, I just would like to thank both of you for your time, and thanks for everyone for listening.
Thank you so much, Seth. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Seth.
Now we're going to hear from this year's poster artist, Brenda McGinnis. Brenda is an elementary school art teacher and pet portrait artist. Her poster submission, Sheepdog and Sunflowers, won the 2026 Common Ground Country Fair poster contest.
I would like to know how you would describe yourself as an artist and the work that you create.
So originally I was mostly interested in children's illustration and art geared toward very young children. So it was very whimsical, very animal oriented. And then I used to sell a lot of that through fairs and through my website. And then during COVID, I challenged myself to go more realistic and see if that was something I could do. So from that period on, I've got more interested in more realistic style and using watercolors as my preferred medium, branching away from acrylics and trying out watercolors. I really enjoyed that. So I started offering my services as a pet portrait artist, which was very exciting. And it was really good to gain practice and try out painting a variety of animals for requests from pet owners for how they'd like to remember their pet or things like that. So that gave me the confidence to try out for the Common Ground Country Fair, because I kind of had my eyes on it for quite a number of years, but I didn't have the confidence to submit because I'd seen prior years winning entries. I was like, I'm nowhere near there yet. So for the past 3 years, I've entered the Common Ground poster contest and kept trying until this year. It was finally my year.
Oh, that's wonderful. For those entries before, was it also a sheepdog or was it something different?
So the first year I submitted two chickens because I grew up with chickens and they're like my favorite. So I submitted those and it made it to the top 20, which was a victory for me in itself, but it didn't make it to the poster. And then the following year I submitted some bees and honeycomb and a sheepdog, the same sheepdog, but without the sunflowers. Okay. So the sheepdog and the bees made it to the top 20, but neither were selected. And then instead of shelving the sheepdog, I thought, well, maybe because I've never been a sheepdog on the poster before, I thought, well, there's definitely potential for a sheepdog to win this. So what's wrong with mine? So I went back to mine and compared with older posters, like what makes the winning poster. So I noticed that even if they had chosen an animal, they also chose a plant or something else to kind of go along with the animal. So I picked sunflowers because they're quite seasonal for the time of year that the fair is held. There's still remnants of sunflowers in various parts. So I revamped my original painting to include some sunflowers. And that was the trick.
Yeah. It feels very timely for the 50th, too, with the sheepdogs being an iconic early exhibit for the fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't expect a newcomer like me to make the 50th poster. But I definitely thought that there was an opening for the sheepdog. There was, like, it's been too long. Chickens have had their day.
Yeah.
So it was great to get it on for the 50th and for the sheepdog to get some limelight.
You said you had your eyes on the poster contest for a few years, and I'm wondering what your connection is to the Common Ground Country Fair or MOFCA, or how you knew about the contest to begin with.
Well, I only moved here in 2014. So kind of just scoping out the art world and opportunities for artists in Maine, I had stumbled upon that way back. And I wasn't overly familiar with MOFCA at all or what it did. And then over the years, I got a little more familiar with it and had an interest in it because I am also from a farming background from growing up. And we moved to Maine and we have a tree farm. So we kind of dabbling a little bit in the farming world still, but just the whole idea of how the organization works and how it's there to connect people and to help people out on their journey for organic farming is really interesting. And
just backing up a little bit, so you were talking about your first exposure to the art scene in Maine, but what was your first exposure to art and creating art?
Oh, this is a whole lifelong thing. Like, my whole ambition was to, as a kid, all I wanted to do was, whatever my job was, I just wanted to make money doing art. That was like my life dream. So I was an elementary teacher in Ireland for 10 years. And then we moved to Maine in 2014 when my daughter was very young. So I stayed home with her and did a lot of craft shows and sold to local craft stores. And then in 2018, I got a job as an elementary school art teacher. So I've been doing that since then. I teach full-time art and then do side hustles with art anywhere I can. So art has been just part of me for forever.
And what training have you received as an artist?
I'm self-taught for the most part. I did some elective classes during teaching college, but after that it was self-taught.
Well, that's really impressive. your work is so incredible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I saw you were describing yourself as a passionate pet portrait artist, and it said you specialize in creating watercolors that capture an individual animal's, quote, unique personality. And I'm wondering, you know, how are you able to do this? Do you work from images? Do you meet the animals? I guess, like, how do you understand their behavior and then capture it on paper?
Yeah, that's tricky. That's a great question. And it's tricky because for pet portraits, usually you get the request or the commission after a pet has passed. So you don't meet the pet for the most part, but you communicate with the owner. So you chat to the owner about what were they like, what did they like about them, what will they remember? And then the owner will send a variety of pictures and poses of the pet. And you can kind of get an essence for their personality, like the photos they send and the things they tell you about them. And pet owners are more than happy to chat at length about their friend. So between those, you can kind of piece together, and then the owner will let you know if you're on the mark or if they don't recognize the pet, you know, what's missing. So we work together to create something that they're proud of and happy with. And that's a good summary of their pet as they knew him.
I imagine have studied animals in real life, whether your own pets or farm animals, to be able to transfer the knowledge that you're gleaning from the owners in these conversations. So I'm wondering, do you have pets, or what is your background with animals?
I grew up on a farm with a lot of chickens and cattle and household pets like cats and dogs. So I would have been around all of them from the day they were born till the day they passed as well. So there's a lot of knowledge to be got from hands-on experience with animals and seeing their sign to communicate so much through their eyes and through their body language. And you pick up on it without even realizing it. Like you understand animals a lot more by just being around them. You can tell a lot about the mood and the feelings of an animal through their ears or their eyes or the tilt of their head, and little tiny little clues that tells you so much about what's going on in their mind.
You mentioned dogs growing up. Were any of them sheepdogs, or do you have a connection to sheepdogs specifically?
I do through family and friends. They would have had sheepdogs as working dogs. We had dogs that were not so fond of working, not as reliable for working. But I did see how my uncle had sheepdogs and he used them to help him out with herding cattle. And then family friends were strongly involved in sheepdog trials. So they would have raised dogs that were competitive, and then they would have had their own dogs for bringing to these trials and competing at, I mean, it's the size of Ireland, but it was at a country level, which was pretty impressive. So the things that they could do was beyond what you'd expect a human and a dog to be able to do together. So that was my real life connection. And then just any time I get a chance to go to a show that has sheepdog trials, that's where you'll find me, you know, during the times that they're on. It's like a magic performance.
This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio. Archives of previous episodes can be found on WERU.org as well as the WERU app. Stay tuned for more great programming.